pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
I'd like to welcome everybody tonight. And we'll call that everybody here. And I'd like to welcome Wesley Hanson. He's a true Dito One Mofello, a final American. What's that? Dito Three. Okay. And this is the final American before he starts. Dito Project, is that what he said? Good.
Wow.
Program, I was there myself, I grew up, so. Scouts is a big opportunity. Okay, current business, 2.01, all must account request. And Brett, you have something else on that? Thank you.
I did bring a few things back along.
Brent Stinson, Adams County Health Department. And I've been involved with the homeless count for several years now. And we do routinely make a request to community partners and community agencies to assist with this. And what I've brought with me today is the board report that I prepared last year for the Board of County Commissioners. And also one of the point in time homeless count forms that we typically use. Really quick, just a few minutes worth of background information. The homeless count is something that's required by federal law, and it's required by the federal government. It's passed down to the states to perform, and then the states then turn to the counties to actually share in some of the revenue that pays for that, and then to perform the count. And this year's count is going to be on January 24th. We're planning tentatively right now, 9:30 in the morning till about 3 in the afternoon. I don't suspect that it will take the entire 4.5 hours. We do a bit of training right in the beginning on how to fill out the form and make sure that everybody has a bilingual person with them and they've got transportation and they know the area that they're going to be surveying. Then we turn everybody loose and then try to hit everybody back in about 3 or 4 hours. So typically what we've done in the past is we've surveyed the Edson Tracks area, Saddle Road area, our trailer parks in the area. We've gone out as far as on the east or the west end of the county, out McBannerman Road, off Barton Road, and some of those areas. We also survey Washtucna, Lynn, and Ritzville. And what we're looking for primarily is people that are struggling with their housing situation. Some people that may be doubled up, meaning that I may own the home or I may be on the lease of the rental, but I have another family staying with me. Could be a family member, could be a friend, could be lots of different situations. And at any point, they could become homeless if we get in an argument or I get evicted, they get evicted. So some of those housing situations are kind of right on the edge, are a concern for us and things that get counted. We also look to see how the kind of the quality of the home or the housing to see, do they have running water? Do they have approved sewage disposal? Either a drain field that's working or they're hooked to city sewer? Do they have a functioning bathroom? Can they cook a hot meal? Can they heat the home to 60 degrees? Or a number of the things that go into qualifying that structure as housing fit for human habitation. And so we go out and we survey these areas. We collect all the data, and then there's an HMIS information management system program that goes in with the Department of Commerce at the state level. And then they take all the county data, feed it back to the federal government, and it paints a picture, a realistic picture of what the housing situation is across the United States, not only here in Adams County. So once again, that will be done on the 24th. We have, in the past few years, had a representative from the police department, a bilingual officer that's helped us a couple different times. We've had other representatives from the city government. So I would just like to extend an offer or a request for maybe at least getting one volunteer, maybe a couple. We're looking to probably get about 20 or 25 people total. I have about half that total cover right now with our staff members, and we have quite a few bilingual staff, and so I am looking for somewhere between 10 and 12 volunteers. So if you have any questions, I can answer them for you, And if not, it's going to be on the 24th. We're going to start over at the County Services Building. And I'll be sending more information to Eamon as kind of we finalize these details.
Do you have a phone number for people to call if they want to call?
Sure, absolutely. The Health Department phone number is 488-2031. And one other thing I brought up here, we have in years past handed out carbon monoxide detectors. We do have some that we're going to hand out again. And we've worked with some local committees. Dan Leary's helped us quite a bit in the past, and we've identified people that need space heaters, and then he's coordinated to make sure that those units get space heaters. We found some code violations where we've worked with tenants and property owners to get those fixed also. All right.
Yeah. So.
The mayor's helped a couple times.
So, can you tell us
Yeah, 10 or 12.
Yeah, that'd be really nice. So, thanks again for letting us know, and hopefully we'll be involved this year.
All right, great. Thank you for your time.
Thanks
again.
Thanks for having me back. My purpose here today is just to kind of go over the project real brief. We've been over a few times, but this is the final project going out to advertisement next week. With that, I want to just cover a couple quick timelines. The ad bid opening will be on the 14th of February, and then I anticipate work to start the latter part of March, first part of April out there. That's when we're going to hit it. We have 35 working days on this project. That's 7 weeks, so we're going to hit it hard and get it done and get out of here as fast as we can. So with that, I'll just go over to the project real quick. If you have any particulars, I did bring my my lead designer, and who will also be the project inspector, Don DeBerg. So he's been a pivotal part on this project from the get-go. You just haven't seen him behind the scenes, so I wanted to bring him down here and introduce him to you. So with that, just quickly through the project, let's go with the project. We've all seen this before, but I just kind of wanted to go over it one last time. What the project entails is, if we can scroll down to the bottom. Okay. The main emphasis of this project, of course, is to reduce collisions at this intersection. We had a series of them. I won't go into the details of that again, but I am going to go over what this project involves. A couple key things is we're going to lengthen this right turn lane to get traffic off and away from the highway. We're also going to improve the radiuses. Here, we're going to restrict the cross movement with some islands and some channelization devices. We're going to improve the turning radius at the corner of the spur and Highway 26 and 24 here. And some channelization improvement on Broadway. We're going to improve sidewalk ADA ramps. We're going to complete and rebuild sidewalks on both Columbia and Willook Streets. And one thing that we did is trying to keep pedestrians from this intersection here. We moved a mid-block crossing up First Street with some illumination, try to make it better safe traveling for the ADA folks or for any pedestrians for that matter. And that's pretty much the project in a nutshell. A couple things that have come up in the past is the site visibility heading looking north. Not much we can do there, of course, due to the pillars on the bridge, but we did look at that. There was a concern about runoff. Just a side note, I know there's been a lot of runoff off this bridge and some water and mud flows coming down on the highway. Maintenance is going to get on that springtime, try to clean that up. So thanks, Terry, for bringing that to our attention. I didn't know about it. So they're going to fix that in the spring. But that's the project overview in general. Just wanted to kind of refresh everybody's memory. Along with that, there are some trade-offs a little bit. Is we can go to another exhibit. Let's go to the top one, Chevron and Union 76 approaches. A big contentious point of this project early on was the access to the local businesses. We resolved those issues pretty much with some revisions in the intersection design, but just to refresh memories, we didn't really impact this change of this much other than just tying it into the new sidewalk system and ADA ramp. This approach here was pretty large at 96 feet. And we pinched it down to the standard width of 40 feet. That's something that we brought up in the past. That brings everything to parity along this corridor. This has been an excessive one. These wider approaches tend to create a bigger point of conflict, so we're trying to constrain that a little bit to minimize the conflict area a little bit. That's the whole premise of that move. There's nothing new on that. It's been talked about, so I just want to refresh people's memory just because it is an impact to the business a little bit, or a perceived impact, if you will. So moving to the next exhibit, let's go to staging. Down there, I kind of want to walk folks down through how we're going to go after this project. The first stage of this project is, I'll call it stage one. Makes sense. We're going to be going after the intersection first. We need to close this ramp down so we can make the improvements to this intersection, this radius here, and a little bit of work over here. We got illumination. We're going to move the pole that's on this corner across the road over there. There's a lot of off-tracking on this radius, so we're going to widen and pave that out. And also to make access onto 26 heading east more user-friendly for trucks and whatnot, we're going to improve this radius right here. Also, as I mentioned, this is our right turn lane, so we'll be building all that first start out of the project. So if you can scroll down a little bit more, refines that a little bit. We also have some work going on some sidewalks. So when we're building sidewalk improvements, we want to make sure the pedestrians get through the work area and have access to the businesses. So we'll go at it in a systematic way. The first step, of course, for us is we'll look at limiting them to like the east side of the road first. So that's kind of like the premise of what I'm talking about here. If we can go down another notch, one more. This talks about stage three, which is Columbia Maluk. This one here, as we looked at it, I've been back to the department money people twice to make this project whole. I can't get us all the way there. And when I say that, it's the rebuilding, as the mayor proposed. We went and we did a mill and fill on Columbia and Maluk to beef up the roadway on that. The thing out there is that the surfacing depth of the crushed rock isn't up to full standard. For Columbia, Maluk has the structure pretty much. Columbia is the one of concern. I don't have the money to rebuild these roads. But what I am doing is we're going to mill out 3,500 to asphalt and we'll pave it back, which is for Maluk, that's more asphalt than it's out there right now. For Columbia, you have about a half a foot of asphalt out there, so we're replacing in kind basically, but you'll have new asphalt out there. But just as a word of caution, we're there for the 50-year design for pretty much Maluk, but not Columbia. I just wanted to bring it to your attention. I just couldn't get there with the money we had. But I wanted you guys to be aware of that. So with Columbia and Maluk, at stage three, we'll grind out, we'll pave it back, we're going to finish the sidewalks on both sides and all the curb cuts, the accesses into all the businesses. So that'll be a complete sidewalk system on both those roadway sections. And that pretty much, we can scroll down one more time. I think that covers it. Yeah, okay. So let's go to other exhibits real quick. Construction schedule, I can just be real brief about that one. I said 35 working days. This is pretty much how we came up with it. We tried to be as efficient as we can with the time that we had out there so we're not just dragging this project out. So I just kind of, as a quick FYI, we tried to keep as much stuff compressed as we could just so we minimize the impacts to the businesses in the area and the public. So I don't know much more to say about that one. And with that, I pretty much covered it really fast, but I'll entertain questions if you have any. But this is a final product. Advertisement starts, it goes out next week, 4-week ad, and then we open it up on the 14th of February. So if you have any questions, I'd be willing to entertain any at this point in time.
On Columbia Street, are you expecting that to last? Do you have an idea?
There's a couple things in our favor on that. When the materials lab engineer went down and looked at it, there wasn't any visible signs of frost heave, and that would be our main concern. The asphalt we're going to put out there is a pretty good asphalt product. It's, you know, it's not a BST chip seal or anything like that, so it's pretty substantial. The Columbia one,
no, the Maluk one, right?
The Maluk one, we'll probably get the 50-year life design on it. This one here, we're about, I'm talking in engineering terms, I apologize. I can't give you a full prediction on how long it'll last, but the structure number. Pardon? Oh, I had them backwards, okay. Well, anyway, Luke is the one that's in question, and that one there, and I apologize for numbers, but you base your truck percentage, that's the key thing, and you also base your surfacing structure under that road. With that, the design would be a 3.4-inch design that we need on that. What we're having equivalent of is about a 2-inch. So I guess if you just prorate that out times 50 years, that would be your reduction in life on that road. So 50 years, about 2/3 of 50 years, you know, and it could accelerate depending if you have more trucks on it. So that's something to keep in mind. One thing I brought up a while back is if you had a way to partner some money, maybe we can go after it during this project. That's something you guys want to think about. We can give you an estimate of what it would cost to dig down and rebuild that. But like I said, I've been 2 trips back to the money people, and I don't have any more markers to pull in on this job. I'm kind of stuck at this point in time.
So what will be the thickness of the asphalt when you're done? 3.5?
3,500s, yeah. So a little over 4 inches of new asphalt down.
A little over 4 inches?
Yeah. Okay. For both of them. But like I said, that the crushed rock underneath is really, really narrow, really thin. That's the piece that, you know, helps bridge everything, and also the water issues. But having said that, there hasn't been any signs of frosty, which would be a major concern. So I'm still concerned about the traffic, you know, the trucks. If the truck percentage increases, then your deterioration will go along with that. So.
What was your budget on this project?
It changed so many times. Where are we at?
Is that just the second phase, or does that include the
this
first?
This one.
That's just this portion of it.
So we put a lot of money in this project. It's not 100%, but it's the best that we can do with what we got, pretty much. But I'm willing to entertain partnerships at this point in time to rebuild that. And if you want, we can come up with an estimate for the dig out, if you guys want to entertain that. But
do I entertain it, Council?
I got one question here. Say that Ben's, we're not going to go back and redo that street. What about partnering in the future in case that thing breaks up and whatnot? Because it's technically, it may be our streets, but you're using them as a state highway. So if they break up in the future, is there a possibility that the state would come back and help rebuild that?
I don't have that crystal ball, but what I would say is just like this project, how it generated, the city of Othello went out and asked for a grant. I'm sure that, you know, if that's something that comes up, then I would probably say that would be your avenue to go after additional funding to do a rebuild on this. But I couldn't commit to saying, yeah, it would happen or not. That's so far out there. It depends on the funding situation that we're dealing with. But that would be your best avenue, is going after a grant, like a TIB or something like that.
And I guess my other question is, down on Broadway where we've got that sloughing of that bank, mm-hmm. We also needed a sidewalk along Broadway. Is that going to be in this project, or is that going to be in the next
There's
project?
There's no sidewalk. You're talking under the bridge?
Under the bridge, right.
A while back, we all agree that's a good thing to do. Again, that wasn't the scope of this project. When we did the stage one, everybody saw the value of that little temporary thing, but there's some engineering and some structures you'll have to place underneath that embankment, underneath that bridge, to make it happen. And it did not. The money was pretty significant. I don't remember, Don. Do you remember what that was? Or? Sorry for putting you on the spot. It was over $200,000 for that. Again, there are some programs out there for walkable communities and stuff, and I would suggest that that's something to watch. And if there's some way you can go after grant money again, I would encourage you to do so, because I thought there was value in it. We just couldn't get it into this project. Excuse me, because this project was a safety enhancement at the intersection, not a pedestrian.
I know there's a lot of people also complain about that site problem we've got in that area as well. And that could be done with that retaining wall step back and the sidewalk put in at the same time. And that technically is probably your property, so we would be having to do it on your property because you've got the overpass there and whatnot. So I think it should be your responsibility, okay. Either if not at the present time, but in the future. to at least put in that retaining wall and that walkway through there.
Okay, that's a good point you brought up about that site, Denson. So I'll go back to the, let's look at the overview one more time. Here's something that we did there. If you scroll down to the intersection there, right here, we're moving the stop bar out a little bit. We have this little bulb out. And what this does is allow traffic to cut, setting southbound, because that's been a problem here, is cutting across this way. So we put this little bulb out when we improve this radius. We're also moving the stop bar out a little bit. Okay. That gain does some sight distance. It didn't get us 100%, but it did gain us. And that's the best we could do, you know. It's going to take us rebuilding that bridge to improve that sight distance that we all need. We need to do so, and that would happen whenever an interchange came into this picture, down the road, whenever that is. But I do understand what you're saying. Pedestrian movement underneath there, somehow to make it happen. I would say if you can find a grant money somewhere for walkable communities, I would encourage you to do so, because that's the way it's going to happen on this piece.
Questions from council?
Mayor, if I could follow up on Councilmember Johnson's question on the bids. How are you seeing bids coming in high or low to the estimates?
Initially, a couple years back when the economy kind of tanked a little bit, we didn't catch up to how the contractors were bidding.
Right.
They've been buying projects a little bit, but we've kind of gotten smarter about it and got with the times. And we're running within 10% of our estimate now.
But we're going to talk about some city projects tonight. I kind of wanted to have that as a lead-in.
Yeah, and it's been pretty interesting. It depends on how many people have plan holders and actually bid on these projects.
Right.
If you only have a couple in and they know that, the bids will be a little higher. But if you have nine bidders, somebody's going to flinch and buy the job, pretty much. Yeah.
You're hoping they'll come in lower on your project?
I am. I really am. So we've done everything we can to bring this in within budget, and like I said, I've been back twice to the well to get money to make it whole. And so we really believe in this project. I appreciate the participation the council has had on this thing and the understanding along the way. It was a little rough road a couple of times, but I think we all came together, and I think overall the community is going to have a pretty good project when we're done. So thank you.
We appreciate you being flexible in the state for wanting to do this. You know, we don't want to see any more deaths at that intersection either. Sometimes it's our own citizens in our community, so but even beyond that, we don't want to see that. So we do thank the state for willing to spend the money and all the time you put in and other people to make this work and being flexible. So
that's the key thing. We're all here to achieve the same goal. And I think hopefully when we're all said and done, people will see the benefits. I think they will. So thank you guys.
Thanks for coming down. Okay, 2.03.
Sorry, I just wanted to take one note. I wanted to express my appreciation. There's a couple folks from the city that came and participated in the plans review, and I wanted to kind of just kind of bring them up. Dan Quick and Doug Johnson. I do appreciate their participation. They came up and they added a lot of value to our plan. So I just wanted to let you guys know that. Thank you.
Awesome. Thank you.
Mayor, can I just comment on the depth of the project? As you recall, we had three or four people, business owners, concerned business owners, come and talk to the council previously. From that, there were modifications made. We made a specific phone call and invited each of those members to this meeting to see the final. And we also sent out about 20 letters to all the business owners in the area and invited them to tonight's meeting also so they could see the final.
2.03 Public Works Project Bid Schedule. Terry and Larry, I guess.
Good evening, Mayor, Council. Tonight we'd like to talk a little bit about the Public Works Trust Fund 2013 projects. Through this schedule right here, we've got some well issues here, schedules and projects. I'm going to let our city engineer explain those through when we get there. Council committee and staff have met both on the sit on the water and the sewer side and the street side, and as you know, last year we bid these projects out for TIB scrutiny project, and they came in a little high. So we rejected them, and we decided to go back out early this year and rebid these things and send them out. And as you can see on the first two items right here, these rebid items, one small works roster down here and the other ones just below this, these have been broke out in two different types of work. This first work up here is utility work, works off the small works roster for the local contractors here, and this other one down here is concrete and asphalt. Basically, we did this to get some good pricing, spread out some of the work in the area here, and see if we can't come up with some contractors that want to do the work. On the 14th Avenue construction version down here, water line replacement and construction, we had that's a Public Works Trust Fund loan. There's none of the spec work or design work has been started yet. So we have to start that as soon as possible here in order to complete this project in October of 2013, which is the completion date, October 22nd. Streets and overlays and alley approaches. We've got, we've bid the TIB project, and whatever TIB doesn't come up with, we have to fund out of our overlay project to complete this project. Whatever money's left over is where this portion of the streets and overlay and alley approaches come in. The alley approach fund takes care of itself. Our street overlay fund will take care of the remainder. We don't know how much we're going to have left when we finish up with our TIB. So whatever's left out of this, we've got some street overlays down around Pine Street from Broadway to 4th, 2nd from Elm to Scutney, 3rd from Soda to Scutney, and Venice, Main to Cedar. Those all have had infrastructure work already. They're behind the curb, so it'd just be a street overlay, raise the iron in the street. We feel that there might be enough money left over after the TIB that we should be able to fund one, two, maybe three of these projects. At the same time, on the alley approach, we're going to look at doing alley approaches that are somewhat close to the project so that we don't have to pay a lot of mobilization. They'll be within that area, so we'll concentrate on those as we do overlays. But we have to see what we have for money coming out of the TIB scrutiny project, what's left that we've taken out of there to put forward towards these other streets that we've got selected. The SR24 area sewer and water improvements and the West Moon Street sewer improvements. The West Moon Street sewer improvements on a grant, CBDG grant. The other one's Public Works Trust Fund, the SR24 water and sewer. And we've combined these two into a project to get better bang for our buck. This is kind of dirt work. It's down in the, can be done just about any time of the year. So we combined these two together so that we can get a bigger dollar amount here. Big bang for the buck. So that's pretty much all I have at this time, unless council's got some questions that they have. I'll turn it over to Larry here for the rest of the well nine.
Questions?
I do, but I think Larry might be able to answer them in a little bit.
Thank you, Terry.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor and Council. Nice to see you all again. Follow up on the scheduling that Terry's talking about, the drilling of the Well 9, it's a project that we've discussed with Council before. We basically are waiting on Adams County Water Conservancy Board to give their approval so that we can get plan specifications into Department of Health, Department of Ecology for their final approval. We did receive an email today from Department of Ecology that they've reviewed what the Conservancy Board has put together. There's a long list of items that Conservancy Boards do, so we streamlined the process instead of going through Department of Ecology for, say, a 12 or an 18 month period to get approval to drill a well. it takes conservancy boards much less time, in theory. The conservancy board will now take the information from Department of Ecology, put their final paperwork together, get an advertisement out in the newspaper indicating that this is what the city of Othello is trying to do, change the point of withdrawal for the new well. And even though we didn't get approval for changing the point of withdrawal by December 31st of last year, we think we'll still have approval by the end of January of this year. So we're hoping that we'll still be able to advertise starting the 1st of February. Once the well is drilled and we can determine just how much water we do have, we'll be able to look at going forward with the water main back into town and equipping the well, sizing the pumps, the motors, the electrical gear, and things like that. We don't want to build a pipeline into town from the site until we know for sure that we have water, and we won't be able to size all of the equipment until we know how much water. So the schedules here reflect after the well is drilled and tested, going in and doing the design and construction of both the water main and equipping of the well and building the well house. So that's why the schedule shows completing these projects after the drilling of the well. We could start early, but just in case there's a problem or we don't have as much water as we'd anticipated, or there's a problem with the water, we don't want to have anything designed that we can't use. And that concludes the presentation on the scheduling. So if there are any questions, we'd be happy to answer them.
I noticed you did put together the SR24 industrial area improvements along with the Moon Street mm-hmm. project. The SR24 area was a money coming through the state mm-hmm. on the Public Works Trust Fund.
Yes.
Okay, that Public Works Trust Fund was a large one, about $680 million, I think, in total request.
From the city, it was $4.8 million for the SR24 industrial mm-hmm. water and sewer, and about $2 million for the 14th Avenue.
Okay. But statewide, this is where I'm getting to. Statewide, it was about $680 yeah. million total.
Yes.
And that was contingent to the governor's mm-hmm. budget, or the governor's budget coming in at half that. So there's going to be a lot of those projects cut. The Moon Street project, I think, has already been delayed enough. I think we should have been on that last year. And, of course, I don't want to spend the money on the SR24 project
right.
unless we have it in hand.
Mm-hmm.
And we won't even know that until possibly June or July.
Right.
With the new governor coming in, budget could change quite a bit. But he's going to have a lot of tough decisions to make, too, on that budget. I think we'd be wiser to still progress on the Moon Street project.
Sure.
Hold off on the 24 until we know if we're going to have that money or for sure.
Yeah, the SR24 schedule is set up to not even start until we know for sure that the money's in hand. But we could easily work with Public Works and do the Moon Street ahead of that.
Because we got the money for the Moon Street project
yeah.
through grants.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, whichever direction the city would like to go, we can do that. That's a good point.
Any thoughts on that?
If you'd like, we can take it back to committee and discuss it with them.
Terry, you got any comments on that? Start bringing it off, or?
No, I think we're fine right there. I think we can go either way.
Either way doesn't make a difference?
Just bundle those two for to get a bigger bang for the buck, but like Mr. Johnson said there, that you know nobody wants to rake on that money before they have it in hand, so I can understand that too.
I still think when you have that road tore up, you should tap in the water and cap it off. I just, sewer came, eventually they'll need water.
You're talking about a street?
Yeah. Okay. I think we'd be foolish. I mean, at the end of the day, it's another revenue that we need to entertain down the road.
Now, our sewer is going to actually run underneath the overpass where the tracks are, my understanding.
Yes.
Okay. We can't run sewer and water together. We're going to have to run... Is water going to have to actually come under where Broadway is?
Is that what the plans are? It will come under the overpass also. It'll just be far enough away that we can run them parallel, but no closer than about 10 feet to each other.
Water is there already.
Yeah, it just needs to be upsized. Yeah. And we'll also have stormwater going through that corridor as well to get to the big retention pond the city has on the north side of the highway.
Okay. Where's the 16-inch main currently run? Down? I know there's one that's running down Broadway. Does it run underneath the overpass there?
Right behind the beam plant.
Yeah. Right behind the beam plant?
Behind
the 16-inch.
Mm-hmm. And is it 16 inch?
Because it comes from well 7.
Yeah.
Towards town.
It might be 12 inch. We can check the record.
Okay.
This is informational, known for council to review. We've discussed this with committees, like Terry said, a couple different times. And we've got the luxury of time to decide what we want to do, since the Public Works Trust Fund won't be making their decision, or excuse me, the legislature won't be making their decision until the end of the session, probably April, May, something like that.
That's what I was going to say, is we have time, so why not let the committee work through this and make a recommendation back to the full council?
Okay. Any other questions for Larry or Terry? Okay. Thank you, Larry,
Thank
for
you.
Coming down. And
you bet.
Drive careful. It's not too foggy. Okay, 2.04, medical marijuana gardens, moratorium, and state and federal laws. This is an information only. You notice there was a motion in this one. We're not going to do any motions tonight. This is a workshop, so I want to remind everybody. We only will do motions when we advertise it, so people understand we're going to do it during our workshop if possible. So we'll let Daryl. Catherine, I guess. Daryl first.
Thank you, Mayor, members of the council. For the record, Daryl Percy, city planner. several months ago, actually back in July of this 2012, the council heard information in regards to the possible extension of the moratorium that was then in place regarding medical marijuana gardens. During that discussion, the council directed the Planning Commission to look at the issue and to examine information that they had available to them, take testimony from the public, and come back with a recommendation in regards to the issue of dealing with medical marijuana gardens and the moratorium that was in place at that time. To give you a little bit of background, just to refresh your memory, the state of Washington passed laws that allow for the development of medical marijuana gardens within jurisdictions in the state of Washington. There's a process under state law that allows for cities to adopt a moratorium to implement the law while they're reviewing and developing regulations. The intent of that moratorium section in the state law is really just to provide that window of opportunity for states, for cities rather, to react to certain elements that come forward from the state legislation. In this case, the issue of medical marijuana gardens. But the intent of that legislation for moratoriums is really to be for a brief period of time. The law allows for up to 6 months. But it does allow for the extension of that moratorium to go on should the need be available or arise for the city and that the regulations are not yet in place. Now, there's a number of issues that have happened, two of them very recently. That affects the city's ability to actually implement regulations dealing with medical marijuana because there continues to be a number of unanswered questions. One of those issues that occurred was in the November election where the use of recreational marijuana became legal in the state of Washington through the initiative process and subsequent election results. That legislation very specifically separates the use of recreational marijuana from medical marijuana. In other words, the legislation very specifically identified that it would not affect the medical marijuana laws. However, we're beginning to find that that may or may not be the case. And the second element of this new information is that there has been a lawsuit filed against the city of Western Washington that deals specifically with the issue of a prohibition against medical marijuana gardens and the impact or effect that the newly adopted legislation allowing for recreational use of marijuana, how it may affect the medical marijuana law. So it's possible that we may get new information based on this court case that would change the thinking or at least the relationship between medical marijuana gardens and recreational use of marijuana. That said, the Planning Commission went forward with their process of taking information, considering testimony, looking at the information that was available to them, and there was quite a stack. And really, they did look at a number of issues in regards to this topic. But really, they came down to four potential options that they wanted to consider in developing their recommendation. One of those was to consider an extension of the existing moratorium that the city had. They knew that there were unanswered questions, that things were evolving. At that point when they were making their recommendation, the results of the election were not known. And so they recognized that there were some issues that needed to be resolved and that an extension of the moratorium might be warranted. They also looked at the possibility of developing regulations and allowing for medical marijuana gardens in select zones with regulations that would be done in a manner consistent with the adoption of the state law allowing for medical marijuana gardens. The third item they looked at was an example that they received from the city of Pasco, which adopted allowable use of medical marijuana gardens within the city that was consistent with both state and federal law. So while the state law allows for medical marijuana gardens, federal law does not. So with that conflict, in essence, that became a prohibition. The issue of whether or not that is a viable alternative to implement state law is still in question. So we're not sure how exposed we would be if that were to be adopted in that fashion. The fourth item that they looked at was simply to create a prohibition against medical marijuana gardens within the city limits. In discussing all of those options, the Planning Commission looked at the pros and cons. They looked at the potential risks to the cities in terms of litigation. And after giving all of those items consideration and actually quite a bit of effort and thought, the Planning Commission moved forward a recommendation, voting unanimously, to prohibit medical marijuana gardens within the city of Othello. And that was the Planning Commission's recommendation, recognizing that that was probably the recommendation that provided the highest risk of potential litigation for the city, in that it was inconsistent with the adoption of state law allowing for medical marijuana gardens. So they recognized that risk, but also felt that was the right thing to do for the city of Othello. Now, since that time, again, I've mentioned that we've had two items occur, and that was the election and then this lawsuit that was filed in Western Washington City, I believe it was Kent. As a result of that, we've had recommendations from our city attorney to see what happens and what develops as a result of that case, because it may shed new light and new ability on the cities to either prohibit medical marijuana gardens at their choice, or the courts may rule that cities must allow for these uses and provide for the appropriate regulations and placement. And if that's the case, we would need to go back and review ordinances and see where we would head with that in terms of direction. If cities, as a result of this case, can in fact prohibit these gardens from being located within the city boundaries, then the Planning Commission's recommendation would hold, and the council could consider that as one of the options for you to move forward on the topic. But for now, with those questions unanswered, continues to be the recommendation from the city attorney, and she may wish to speak to this further, to extend the existing moratorium that we have in place. And recognizing that this, I believe, will represent the fourth segment of the adoption of the moratorium. So we'll be working on our last half of the second year operating under a moratorium, which is beginning to push the limits of that intent of that legislation. But because this is such an unknown topic and there's so many variables and how the issues are evolving, there does not seem to be a level of concern on this topic that you might have on another topic where you continue to impose a moratorium. So it appears to be a very safe route for the city to take pending the outcome of litigation dealing with the issues of medical marijuana gardens and the relationship to recreational use of marijuana. So that said, I'll be happy to respond to any questions. And again, we may need to have some additional information in response to the legal aspects of those pending cases or pending case from our city attorney as well.
So our moratorium right now, the 27th?
I believe your moratorium is currently good through up to February 27th. That would be the two-year period when the last, when the whole cycle began. So and then it's been extended in 6 months. So I believe that we are good until at least February 27th. It's probably actually the end of February. So we still have some time to look at the issue, address it, bring an ordinance forward to extend the moratorium, if that's the desire and direction that we determine we want to go.
Catherine, is this a case that's going to move somewhat quickly, or do you think it's going to drag along? I can't.
Well, the wheels of justice always move so fast. My best guess is, in talking to the city attorney at Kent, the plaintiffs have moved for direct review at the Supreme Court. And if the Supreme Court grants review, which they're hoping to find out within the next week or two, then we're anticipating argument this summer and probably a decision before the end of the year. If the Supreme Court takes direct review, that would be a wonderful thing for the cities in general, because it would provide a final answer, if you will, at least in terms of what we have at this point. If it goes to the Court of Appeals, then whoever loses at the Court of Appeals is going to appeal to the Supreme Court. So hoping that the Supreme Court recognizes that's the route it's going to go and to bypass that waste of resources, in my mind, I'm hoping that they accept direct review and take it up quickly. As Daryl said, you know, the interim zoning moratoriums are designed to accommodate periods of time during which the jurisdictions need additional time to work out the issues. Unfortunately, because of I-502 passing and the impacts that it has on the existing conflict between state and federal law with the medical marijuana laws, this is really a moving target. So I'm not as concerned as I normally would be about making a recommendation to extend your moratorium again, because I don't see any point, frankly, in wasting our resources, scarce as they are, in trying to tackle an issue that we really don't know what the animal looks like yet, and we won't until the Supreme Court gets done with it. The ordinance that's being appealed in Kent is an outright prohibition. It doesn't simply prohibit what's illegal under state and federal law. It simply prohibits outright any medical marijuana garden. So whatever the Supreme Court, if the Supreme Court rules, whatever its ruling is going to be a seminal decision on this issue. And barring any other legislative tinkering, should put to rest at least what we have on the floor today. So, you know, as Daryl said, the Planning Commission looked at four of the five available options. The fifth option that the city would have is to adopt interim zoning regulations, which some jurisdictions have done. I frankly think that's a waste of time. So in looking at the options from a realistic standpoint in terms of how much money do you have to throw at this problem, how much money do you have to spend enforcing whatever it is that you do adopt, an outright prohibition like Kent did is going to get you in court, and that's where they've ended up. The next step down is to prohibit whatever is illegal under state or federal law, which really is an outright prohibition. But I think it's a slicing the salami a little thin. It's a little closer to a safe harbor than an outright prohibition is. clearly your planning commission, and from what I've heard from council, does not desire to permit the use subject to conditional use permits. Some jurisdictions have chosen to do that. And that leaves the last option of extending your existing moratorium. So in talking with other jurisdictions and what issues they have grappled with, depending on which option they've selected, I continue to believe that extending the moratorium for the smaller jurisdictions makes sense from a resource management standpoint. You only have so many dollars to deal with, and because we have not ever been handed a clear answer on where marijuana, period, is going, whether it's medical marijuana or recreational marijuana. We can't get solid answers from the federal government, we can't get solid answers out of our state legislature, and we haven't gotten any solid answers from the courts yet. California's been struggling with medical marijuana for a whole lot longer than Washington has, and they're still in a quagmire down there. So I don't think you have any realistic options before you at this point other than to continue to stay the same course that you have been, and see if we get a decision out of the Supreme Court within the next 6 months to the next year. But I think realistically that's the time frame that you're looking at. And maybe if the council is interested, that rather than doing a 6 month moratorium, you do have the option of doing a 1 year moratorium as long as you've got an accompanying work plan, which I think at this point that would be an appropriate step to take.
Questions?
Yeah. It's kind of my thought, same as what you're thinking there. You know, the state and federal government's got to get together and make a decision on marijuana in general anyway. And I think before any city steps out on a limb on their own, that they need to have the state and the federal get together on what's right and what's wrong, which they haven't yet. And I'm sure since we have passed that from the state level, that a lot of this is going to come up in our legislature coming up this spring. And I agree with you. I think we should extend this and just wait and see what happens rather than us stepping out here and making a decision. And we may be right, we may be wrong, but and I think that's when. If we can extend it for a year, that might be a better solution rather than coming back in 6 months right in the middle of everything and trying to do this all over again.
Well, and there's a connection between, you know, I know that a lot of the publicity when I-502 was waiting for the election was that it was not going to have any impact on the medical marijuana laws. But now that we are dealing with I-502, it's become clear to at least myself and some other city attorneys that there is a real conflict or potential conflict between the two, because the medical marijuana laws, remember, arose out of a comprehensive set of legislation that was proposed, and Governor Gregoire vetoed all but a section, and the section she let live was the medical marijuana section. But what she vetoed was the entire state regulatory scheme that would have licensed the medical marijuana production and distribution much the same as it's now being proposed under the new recreational marijuana law. So when they enacted the medical marijuana legislation, that did not decriminalize the possession of marijuana. All it did was provide for an affirmative defense. Well, in order to have an affirmative defense, there has to first be a crime. And so technically, marijuana under the medical marijuana laws remained illegal. It just allowed the person who was in possession to present that affirmative defense if they were charged in a criminal prosecution. Now we've taken it one step farther with the recreational legalization, because that did decriminalize the use and possession and manufacture and distribution of marijuana subject to the limits set forth in that new legislation. So our argument for regulatory purposes as a city used to be, you know, in terms of adopting these prohibitions, that it was never legalized. It was just an affirmative defense. Now we have to put into that mix, it has been decriminalized, and the state has authorized with that legislation the distribution through state licensed stores. So I'm thinking that they're going to have to try and dovetail those two sections, and what that's probably going to look like is that they're going to say, we don't need the medical marijuana gardens anymore. Now we have state licensed distribution stores that can provide both for recreational and medicinal use. So it may render all of the medical marijuana collective garden laws moot. And we're hopeful that the court, when they get a hold of this, rather than piecemealing it, will just take the opportunity to put to rest all of these issues.
Questions for Daryl or Catherine?
Well, what we'll do then is our next step is bring forward a ordinance for council consideration at a regular meeting prior to the expiration of the existing moratorium to allow for the extension.
Sounds good, I think. Sounds like that's what we all want. Okay. Thank you, Daryl.
Thank you.
Tell them thank you very much for all the work they put into this. So.
Yeah, they actually spent quite a few hours and went through a lot of material in formulating their recommendations, so they'll appreciate that.
Right. Thank you. Yes. 2.05.5, the Transportation Benefit District. Amen.
Thank you, Mayor. You all have on your desk a green file folder. This is the beginning of a lot of paperwork relative to the Transportation Benefit District, which is now your new title. In March and April of last year, we conducted public hearings relative to creating a Transportation Benefit District. And in August, you, the council, adopted an ordinance that did create a Transportation Benefit District. All of the paperwork that we have done so far is in this file folder. The issue, now that you are both a council and a Transportation Benefit District, is to set meeting times and schedules, and that is what I hope we would have a discussion about tonight, is how you want to proceed, what types of meetings you want to have, once a month, twice a month. You want to have them 30 minutes, an hour before a regular council meeting, adjourn for a bit, and then go into a council meeting as we work through some of the issues, and you decide where you want to go with the issue of how you want to generate revenue. So with that, I'd like to have a discussion on how you would like to proceed. There are many things that have to be decided by the Transportation Benefit District, for example, an interlocal agreement with the City Council. And then the council would have to approve that also with the Transportation Benefit District. So there is staff time being devoted to the Transportation Benefit District efforts, i.e. creation of this. All those dollars have to be repaid back to the city from the TBD once you have funding. Of course, you have zero money in the bank right now. Spencer is the finance person for the TBD, so he will be consolidating and keeping track of everything as we move through and revenue is generated. So from an admin perspective, how would you like to proceed relative to meetings and starting this ball towards perhaps putting something on the ballot? And by the way, I sent you today a copy of the Adams County election process and the dates and times for submittal of everything from council member mayor to putting something on the ballot issue on the ballot from the TBD. So you have that full schedule in an email that was sent to you today.
How would council like to do it? Do you want to meet before the meetings? Do you want to meet after the meetings? Do you want to have a separate day and have meetings?
I would prefer to meet on the same day earlier. I don't have any other days.
Okay, that's fine. That would, everybody pretty much feels they'd like to meet before?
Yeah, I guess.
Okay. What do you think for time? Half an hour? I don't know what we're meeting for time.
I think initially a half an hour would work. And I would suggest that the first meeting be the 28th.
Of January?
January.
So like 6:15 to 6:45, so we have a 15-minute break. Does that sound good to council? Or?
Sounds
good. Yes? Everybody can make that?
Create a problem.
That'll create a problem for you?
Well, it means being blocked from home for somewhere close to 3 hours. And that's the health problem there. everybody else, which how much have to work through that.
So you try to work through it? Okay, so I guess we're talking about 6:15 to 6:45 then? Is there anything else you need, Eamon, or?
Nope, we'll prepare some agendas just like we do council and have you enact your policies and process.
Okay. Any questions from council for Eamon? Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, 2.06, 2013 committee appointments. What I'd like to do is review these. Make sure everybody's still on board in the committees that you've been appointed to. Let's see if anybody wants to trade. Got to the wrong one there. Okay. Adams County City Biennial Fire Council, which is twice per year, June and October. Mark Snyder, Eugene Bain, Charles Garcia, and Amos Sheldon. Any problems there? That's twice a year, the meetings. Is everybody still on?
Does anybody else want to do that? Because I haven't made it there in 2 years. Because those are the two times that I'm completely, I'm always gone.
Okay, is there anybody that would like to be involved in a biannual fire council meeting?
I would. I'm very familiar with it. I served on it once before, so.
Okay, Ken Johnson. I'll step back on it. Biannual fire.
Why not?
The Adams County Community Network meets the first Tuesday of every month at 6. Eugene Bain. You still good for that? Okay. Are they still meeting every month?
I think they've disbanded. We'll check with the chief and get a note. I think that's become.
I went to one.
I was wondering about that. I haven't heard anything from it.
And I haven't. I didn't pursue it that much either, but I hadn't heard anything else. And I mean, the chief said something about the first one, and then we went to that, and then after that.
They lost their funding. So
I didn't hear anything else anymore after that.
Okay, Adams County Development Council, Ken Kaler, Ken Johnson, and Eamon. Are you guys still okay with that?
What?
Okay, Adams County Disability Board, left one. Okay, Ken Kaler representing us. That's still good?
What?
All right. Adams County EMS and Trauma Council. Ken Johnson. Did it ever meet?
I'll buy myself.
It's quarterly.
Is it quarterly? It's quarterly.
Okay. We haven't really heard much from it, so. Adams County Mosquito Control Board. Ever Cole. Have you talked to him at all?
Yeah, he would like to continue if that's the pleasure of you, the mayor and the council.
Everybody okay with Ever Cole continue?
Sounds good to me.
Okay. Leave it there then. Good. Auditing committee, Ken Johnson, Mark Snyder, and Gina Darrow, Eugene Bain alternate. That's still okay. Mm-hmm. Okay.
If the council is okay, I'd like to make it auditing / finance committee because I've been kind of using it. We've been using it as a finance committee. We can say auditing / finance committee.
Okay. Okay, no problem there. Beautification committee for Main Street. Ken Kaler, Gina Darrow, and Ken Johnson, still okay there? All right. Budget Committee, Code Enforcement, Mark Snyder, Eugene Bain, and Eamon Spencer Williams, everything okay there? All right. Budget Committee Contracts, Ken Johnson, Ken Kaler, and Gina Darrow. All right. Budget Committee General Government, Ken Johnson, Ken Kaler, and Charles. That still works out? Okay. Budget Committee Law Enforcement, Ken Kaler, Mark Snyder, and Dan Deaver.
That's Ken Johnson, I think, instead of Ken. Me.
It's who?
It's me instead of Kaler.
Oh, I said Ken Kaler? Okay, yeah. Ken Johnson it says. You're right.
You got it now.
Okay, Budget Committee Park and Rec. Charles Garcia, Eugene Bain, and Gina Darrow. Pretty good on that one? Okay. Budget Committee Sewer and Water, Gina Darrow, Dan Deaver, and Ken Kaler. Still works. Budget Committee Solid Waste, Eugene Bain, Mark Snyder, and Ken Kaler. Get a lot of miles out of you, Ken Kaler.
Oh, I know, you guys.
We appreciate it. So.
Write them for all you work.
Yeah, there you go. Budget Committee Street Fund, Ken Kaler, Mark Snyder, and Gina Darrow. Okay, Civil Service Commission. Have we talked to those individuals yet?
I'm sorry.
Oh, they're voted in, aren't they? No, they're appointed, aren't they, for a certain term, I think, 6 years. So Terry Thompson, Joe Montemir, and Roy Dodge are still fine?
Yes.
Okay, Groundwater Management, Guama, Ken Kaler?
What?
Still okay? Okay. Brian Osborne, OH Fellow High School Scholarship Committee, Mark Snyder and Charles Garcia? Still okay on that one? Greater Ohio Chamber of Commerce, Salmon, you're still all right with that one?
Yes.
The Independent Salary Commission, they are appointed for a term. Law and Justice Committee, I'm still okay on that one. Councilman Member Snyder, you okay? We've had one of those for a while. Legislative Committee, Ken Kaler, Gina Darrow, and Ken Johnson. Local Emergency Planning Committee is Ken Johnson. You okay? Lodging Tax Advisory Committee is Charles Garcia. I don't think much really happens there, but your name's on it. You're okay?
Looks like we need some representatives from other areas, too, on that.
Yeah, we tried, but it hasn't happened, yeah. So. Othello Housing Authority is okay there.
They need to replace Floyd Kaufman.
Yeah, I don't think you're going to contact him.
they signed somebody in for his spot. I don't remember who it was, though. A while back. I guess we'll find out. Park Committee, Gina Darrow, Charles Garcia, and Mark Snyder. These are all okay. All right. Fellow Planning Commission, we have a vacancy still. So we'd love to have somebody step in, volunteer, step up for that, if there's anybody out there. Pool Committee is Ken Johnson, Charles Garcia, and Gina. Alternate Mark Snyder, everybody okay on that one? Okay. Quadco County RITPO. Terry, you're still okay on that one? Okay. Union Negotiations Committee, I'm still fine with that. Dan Beaver, Ken Kaler, and Gina Darrow. Everybody all right? Okay. Water Sewer Committee, Ken Kaler, Gina Darrow, and Dan Beaver. Gina, you have to be on that one. So, okay. Wasn't there another one we wanted to?
We wanted to create
a new one for streets. Is there some here that are interested to be on streets? That's a big one for us. So, Gina?
Yeah.
Anybody else? Dan?
I'll be on that if you.
For Mark, you're on
the
Mark,
if somebody else wants to do it.
If he wants to do it.
Well, he's going to slug him, so.
Okay, whatever you want to do.
Mark? Okay. So, Gina, Dan, and Mark. You want to be the second or the alternate?
Can do that.
Ken, you can be the alternate then.
Yeah.
If somebody can't make it, we'll give you a buzz. Okay, that was good.
One comment, Mayor, on the Union Negotiating Committee. I know it seems like we just did that, but all four unions are up this year, 2013. So we'll be starting after the first quarter to get all four of those done this year.
Quite fun.
Always okay. Is.
Well, thank you, everybody, for participating and putting your time in like that. So. Makes everything work here, so we appreciate that. Okay, committee reports. Has there been any meetings by committees that stand out to people? Something coming at me? Oh, okay. Unfinished business? New business? No? Oh, okay. No new business? Okay, Mayor's announcements, June 7th. The Adams County Development Council is having their annual luncheon in Ritzville tomorrow at 12 o'clock. There's a carpool leaving City Hall at 10:30. Please call Jennifer at City Hall if you wanted to go all of a sudden. I'll be driving, so if there's anybody interested, I know Ken Johnson's going with me. I do have
up another 5 slots if somebody's interested. The auditing committee will be meeting on Friday the 11th at 12 in the conference room 3, so if you're on that. Oh, and thank Gina for all the work on our website, right? Have you been involved in that?
Yes.
Yeah, thank you very much for putting your time in it.
No problem.
Comments and things like that, so it makes a big difference. Other than that, we will accept the department head reports also, and this meeting is adjourned. Thank you everybody for coming.